And I want to thank you for coming out today. We are small but mighty, and the weather is, of course, an issue, and we're glad that you're able to get out. We don't want anybody taking chances. The ladies canceled their class yesterday because it was a concern of several women that they really didn't want to be driving all the way across town or wherever they were coming from. And we're canceling again, if you didn't pick it up. We're canceling Wednesday night because, theoretically, we're going to set an all-time low temperature Wednesday. And we don't want anybody getting out and getting into trouble. You know, it's interesting when you study the life of Paul that you find him at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, I hope I can do that when I get to the end of my life. I hope I'm able to say I fought a good fight. I hope that I'm able to say I've finished my course. I hope I'm able to say I kept the faith. But how could Paul make such a statement? I think as we look at the life of Paul, what we see is that he lived in three directions. And I would suggest to you those same three directions are relevant to us today. I think they are things that we need to look at. I know as I prepared this lesson, I found myself having to think about how many times I don't practice what I preach. That's a struggle. So I hope this morning that you will understand I'm talking about what God says to us. That I am certainly not saying, hey, I got it made, I do all these things, because I struggle just like you do. The first thing I'd like to call your attention to is that Paul took care of himself. He lived in the direction of self. And this is one of the reasons we put the lesson in the bulletin is that we hope that during the week, especially when we're not able to get together, as we won't be able to Wednesday, to take a few minutes and go back over some of these scriptures and talk to God about your struggle in these areas, because we all have these struggles. In Ephesians 5 and verse 29, Paul says, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. In verse 28, he says, he that loves his wife loves himself. You know, asceticism, the idea that you tear up your body because of your beliefs, is not a part of Christianity. The Christian view of our bodies is extremely important. And you know, it's easy for us to forget this. It's easy for us to understand or to fail to understand that God expects us to take care of our body. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 16, Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you? You know, that may be hard to believe. You look at this ugly body and all of its aches and pains and all the stuff that we're all fighting. And it's easy to say, how can this be the temple of God? But that's because we think like the world does, you know. We think that somehow our body is the physical body and that this is of importance. But God's talking about our spiritual body here. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? That's how important living in the direction of self is. And Christians are to take care of their bodies. I think it's important for us to understand that there are consequences if we don't do this. There are consequences spiritually, there are consequences physically. The last part of that verse, verse 17, says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. You're important. God's Spirit dwells in your body, and that's hard to comprehend. And one of the reasons it's hard to comprehend is that we know how many problems we have. You know, it's kind of interesting. Right now, we got a problem with this physical building we're sitting in right now. February the 9th, we're going to have a work session here. Hope you can be with us. Hope the weather's good. And we prepare to have some problems that are not from here that way taken care of. So no matter what you talk about, if it's the physical, things deteriorate. That includes our bodies. But because we are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in us, the way in which God affects the people of this community, the way God affects the way we deal with each other, with our families, is through our temple, through our body. So God says, take care of your body. If you destroy your body, then the Spirit cannot operate within you. You know, Jesus relaxed on many occasions. He had a hard time because people kept seeking him out. But getting enough sleep, having a good diet, getting medical care, getting exercise, those things were all biblical. The use of alcohol, smoking, drugs, pollution, being overweight. Okay. You know, it's the old story. If you got one finger pointing this way, there's three pointing back at you. Those are part of not being a good steward of God's body. And we all need to work on that. We need to understand that God wants us to take care of our bodies. And quite frankly, sometimes we suffer and God allows us to suffer. That's physically and mentally. Because we abuse our bodies. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. We don't know what that was. We don't know whether it was an emotional problem or whether it was a physical problem. But we know that Paul wanted God to take it away. And God said, no. No, that's not what's going to happen here. He goes on and says, a messenger of Satan to torment me. You know, we have physical problems. I think sometimes we fail to realize that those physical problems may be a part of the fact that we did not take care of our bodies. And God does not prevent us from suffering the consequences of those things. But we need to turn our bodies over to God. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God. You know, I want God to use this body in any way that he can. For 50 years, I've been doing lectureships and speaking in public venues. And I have said to God all along, and continue to say to God, I'll do this as long as you want me to. As long as you provide me with the physical strength, the physical ability to do it. And whatever your role is in the church, whatever you have been called to do, and every one of us has been called to be a part of the Lord's work, turn it over to God. Present your body a living sacrifice. You know, you have a special spiritual responsibility to yourself as well. Remember Acts 2 and verse 40? What did Peter say to those people? Save yourselves from this generation. See, it's not just the physical body that we're talking about. It's looking after your own spiritual needs. One of the reasons we encourage you to come to our Sunday night class is not because we have some egotistical desire to fill the building. But we know that all of us need to share. We need to study. We need to grow. We need to learn. We need to save ourselves from this corrupt generation. And the way we do that, the way we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 and verse 12, is to take care of our spiritual body. Galatians 6 and verse 3. Paul said, if a man thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We need to understand that the part of being spiritually responsible is to understand that God uses us. It is not of our own doing. And this next point none of us like. But Jesus says a way to do this, a way to take care of yourself physically and spiritually, and we know this is true. We don't like it. Matthew 16, verse 24. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Let him deny himself. That's not popular, is it? We don't want to deny ourselves. But if I'm going to lose weight, I got to deny myself, right? If I want to make sure that I have strength, I have to deny myself what I'd rather do, and that is to sit in a nice easy chair and watch TV. If I want to deny myself in my marriage, it will make my marriage better. We take care of ourselves by denying ourselves. That is part of living in the direction of self. Another thing that is peculiar to Christianity is that we also are to live in the direction of others. We live in the direction of self, but Christianity is unique in that it calls us to live in the direction of others. You know, one of the things that's interesting about Jesus' teaching is that he constantly said, you need to understand that I'm concerned about what you do. Not what you say, but what you do. So in Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31, he has a picture of the judgment scene. What is that judgment scene about? What does he say in those verses? If you haven't read it recently, this is a discussion of sheep and goats. And the sheep are people who did what Jesus called them to do. The goats are people who put on a good show, but they didn't actually do anything. So Jesus says, I was in prison and you didn't come to visit me. I was sick and you didn't help me. I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. He goes on and on and on. What's he talking about? He's talking about living in the direction of others. When he talks to the sheep, he says the same thing. And they say, well, you know, I don't remember you being in prison. I don't remember you being hungry. And his response is, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. When we see passages like Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. What are we talking about? One of the things I think is important for us to understand, because we tend to get judgmental in these areas, is that when we are giving people food out of our food bank, when we're getting people coats, when we're getting helping people in the world, it's easy for us to be judgmental about how they got to needing food, or maybe even to suggest that they're not being honest in their request. But one of the reasons we have these programs, like the food banks, the coat giveaway, and so forth, is to provide each of us with an opportunity to do what Jesus said we needed to do. And I hope we can grow these services. I hope we can make these things bigger, get more people involved. Because Jesus says, you're the light of the world, the city that stands alone. Read Matthew 25. And look at Matthew 5, that entire chapter, but especially from verse 14 on. We not only live in the direction of others in the sense that we serve others, but we also in the way we deal with others. Romans 12, verse 17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. We've had a couple of interesting discussions in our classes about this business of recompensing no man evil for evil. What does it mean? What does it mean to talk about turning the other cheek? What does it mean to go the second mile? All of those things involve living in the direction of others. And we as a body, we as a congregation, we as individuals need to be known as people who serve. Not just the people that maybe are attractive, or the people that are a part of us, family, close friends, to serve the people that are not the attractive ones. Right now, our correspondence course program has 3,800 students in it. And at the end of the year, some of the people we work with give some printouts. Of that number, 96% are in prison. Isn't that incredible? And you ask, well, why is that? Well, when you're in prison, you have plenty of time, and you have a recognition that the people that are serving you have nothing to gain by serving you. I have notes every week from prisoners who will say, why are you doing this? Nobody else is. Hey, you are the light of the world. You are a city that stands alone. We need to be known as people that serve those that nobody else will serve. Live in the direction of self, but live in the direction of others. We have passages like Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. 1 Thessalonians 5, which we spent a lot of time on in our Wednesday night class recently, beginning with verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. We need to be active. We need to be dynamic. We need to be working in the community. Warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See, these are things that we do in living in the direction of others. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. We can be kind. You don't need money to be kind. You don't need to speak well to be kind. We live in the direction of others. I guess maybe I think more about this because I'm over 80 years old, but when you die, what will people remember you for? You know, the time to be thinking about that is now, not when you're at death's door. What are you being remembered for? What will people say about you? The church's emphasis has to be in the direction of others, and that needs to be a part of every one of us. And finally, we must live in the direction of God. You know, some of the Psalms are just beautiful in the way they describe the author's relationship to God. And we have talked about the 139th Psalm a number of times. This is written by David. And it's interesting as you read this psalm to think about the focus that he has, what direction he is living. Listen to these words. I'm reading from the NIV. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Boy, there's a scary one. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. The Lord knows your thoughts. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is in light to you. Verse 13, For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That's a man living in the direction of God. That's a man who sits down and thinks about what a wonderful thing God has done in creating a universe like this. A universe that functions beautifully with or without man. A universe that blesses me. Now you may look at all that snow and 10 degrees below zero and all that. But God is still there and He's using that in powerful ways. I know it's pretty cold, but if you haven't gone out at night when there's a clear sky the last couple of days, this next week, take just a few minutes and do that. Because you will never see the air as clear as it is right now. And when the clouds aren't there, it gets totally clear. The moon is incredible. The Milky Way is incredible. David lived in a place where he didn't have city lights. He lived in a place that was very different than where we live. Every night he looked up and he saw that creation. And it motivated that beautiful song. We live in the direction of God. Romans 14:8 says, for whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 36, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And you know His response. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He went on and talked about the way in which those beliefs lead to the best of life. Romans 8, verse 28 says, all things work to the good of them that love the Lord. We live in the direction of God. And you know, the place where we show that is when we are able to demonstrate how we live our lives. Do we take care of our bodies? Do we try to provide ways for us to be the most capable of meeting the challenges of the world around us and with our families? Is that something we actually do? Do people see that in us? Do we live in the direction of others? Do we actually do things that speak loudly about how we are different than anything else that is out there? Do we live in the direction of others? Do we take the bad things that come and realize that all things work to the good? Because even the bad things that happen to us open doors for new things for us to do, new ways to speak to the world around us. We all know the saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know the rest of that. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd? Living in the direction of God is an honor. It's a blessing. It's a plus. It gives you not only the joy of being with people that you can trust, people that will work with you and help you and support you, but it also gives you the joy of being the shining light that Jesus talked about in the world itself. Living in the direction of God is an honor and a blessing. And if you're here this morning, and if the direction of your life is not what you want it to be, you know, we can pray together about that. Your brothers and sisters in Christ care about you. And we're concerned to help you in any way that we can. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not living in the directions that we've talked about this morning as Paul did, we're not doing it perfectly. To put it mildly. We all struggle. We all walk the same walk. But 1 John, the first chapter says, when we make those mistakes, when we sin, and it goes on to say, and don't say you don't sin because you do, the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all the bad things that sin would do in placing us at odds with God. If in any way you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing? to encourage you. Won't you please come?